Our reading is from Genesis chapter 33, verses 1 through 17. Now Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. He put the maids with their children in front, then Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When Esau looked up and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the maids drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And finally Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met?" Jacob answered, "To find favor with my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please, if I find favor with you, then accept my present from my hand. For truly to see your face is like seeing the face of God, since you have received me with such favor. Please accept my gift that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have everything I want." So he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us journey on our way, and I will go alongside you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and that the flocks and herds which are nursing are a care to me. And if they are overdriven for one day, all the flocks will die. Let my Lord pass on ahead of his servant, and I will lead on slowly, according to the pace of the cattle that are before me, and according to the pace of the children, until I come to my Lord and say, 'Here.'" So Esau said, "Let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "Why should my Lord be so kind to me?" So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built himself a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the place is called Succoth. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Last week, we looked at the first story that the Bible tells us about these twin brothers, Jacob and Esau. It was a story of a struggle between two people that began before they were even born, as we saw that these two crashed and fought while they were still in the womb. True to what God had told their mother, Rebekah, when she went to him and asked about the battle that was going on inside of her, true to what God told Rebekah, these two had grown up to be divided. When our story opens today, the men have been literally divided by hundreds of miles for the last 20 years. Jacob, you see, had been sent fleeing from Canaan by his mother after they had pulled a trick on Esau and their father Isaac. A trick that had so enraged Esau that he threatened to kill his brother as soon as their father died. The two men had spent the 20 years that they were apart doing what was expected of men in those days. They had married, they had started families, and they were about the business of providing for their family. Jacob had been doing this in Paddan Aram, a land where his mother was from. That's where she sent him. And there are so many stories of these years that he spent there, stories of tricks and deceptions and games between Jacob and his father-in-law Laban, that we really can't get into all of that today. But let's just say this. Jacob left Paddan Aram with his two wives and his 12 children, not just because he thought a cross-country move would be fun, but because, as the scripture puts it, Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him as favorably as he did before. Yes, after a particular battle of wits that left Jacob with large flocks of healthy goats and sheep, while his father-in-law was left with a much smaller flock of weaker goats and sheep, all, by the way, by playing by the rules, just barely. After that particular event, Laban and his sons, who were also a little detrimented by this whole thing, Laban's attitude was not what it had once been towards Jacob. So once again, Jacob is on the run from family. But since Jacob this time, he had a lot of people to move. He had a lot of livestock to move. And even though he got a 3 days head start on his father-in-law, he was not able to travel fast enough to make a clean getaway. Laban caught up with him and the family, and the two men actually did make peace. Now, that is something that had not happened between Jacob and Esau when he left Canaan years before. And because of that, Jacob was pretty sure that meeting his brother again wasn't going to go as well as things had just gone with Laban. As Jacob got closer and closer to home, he sent a messenger. He sent a messenger to tell his brother that he and his families were coming back, and he hoped that they would find favor with Esau. Now, the messenger came back to Jacob, and he really didn't have a feel for what Esau's reaction was to this message, but he did know that Esau was heading their way with 400 men. That doesn't necessarily sound great. In another effort to make amends, then, Jacob takes over 500 head of different livestock that he owns, and he sends it ahead of him in five different groups with messengers saying that Jacob is coming behind. And then he prays. He literally prays to God that this is going to work. And he spends a fitful night, during which he finds himself wrestling with a man that it eventually becomes clear is either God or a messenger from God. And he spends that night wrestling this man, and he refuses to give up until God had blessed him. And Jacob leaves that place, now limping from a wounded hip that he had been left with. But he has received God's blessing, and he had been given a new name. He had been called Israel. Still, in the face of an experience that Jacob knows was an encounter from God, in spite of the fact that before he left Paddan Aram, he had been told by God that God would go with him back home, in spite of the fact that God had renewed the covenant that he had made with his grandfather Abraham, in spite of all of this, Jacob was still very much worried about what was going to happen when he saw his brother, who, remember, was approaching with 400 men. Now Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming and 400 men with him. That is where our scripture today begins. And then it goes on to tell us about this strange thing that he does. He divides up his family and he orders them so that those who are most precious to him, Rachel and Joseph, are in the back, furthest away from any harm that might come. And then he goes ahead of all of them to meet his brother and that army of men. Now, we soon learn that contrary to what Jacob had feared, Esau is not approaching them to fight. Instead, he runs to meet him. He embraces him. He falls on his brother's neck and kisses him, and both men weep. those words about the way Esau ran to his brother, they just remind me of that story of the prodigal son in the Gospel of Luke. That story where we find a father who has been grievously wronged by his son, but yet he runs to welcome him when he returns home with his tail between his legs. But the thing is that this is Esau. This is not a character in a parable. This is a real man who had been wronged by his brother, and he is extravagantly welcoming him home. Esau approaches his brother, and he gives him that warm welcome, and then he asks right away to be introduced to Jacob's family. You know, this was before Facebook. They had no idea what was going on with each other. They didn't know how many children each other had. They knew nothing. Jacob not only did not know that Esau wasn't still seething with anger, they didn't know anything about each other's lives. Now you can tell. You can tell from this passage, including the way that it ends, you can tell that Jacob maybe is not still entirely sure that things are really okay between them. Even after this warm welcome, you can see how when he approaches his brother, he refers to himself as his brother's servant. You can see how when his family comes up to meet Esau, they all bow down to humble themselves before him. And you see how Jacob again and again tries to buy favor with his brother by telling him that all of that livestock was meant to be an exchange for favor, in exchange for your grace. Now Jacob, he had already been warmly welcomed by his brother, but he doesn't either see it, or he doesn't trust it, or he doesn't understand it. He believes that he must buy his way back home. Esau is very clear, though. I don't need it. I'm just fine. And then that is when Jacob really seems to get it. He tries once again, this time successfully, to get his brother to accept his gifts. He says, "If I find favor with you, then take my gifts. In this moment, I see God when I look at you." Isn't that beautiful? When Jacob says, "For truly to see your face is like seeing the face of God, since you have received me with such favor." Jacob goes on to say that God had been very gracious to him, that he has more than he needs, and that he really wants to make a gift to his brother. The gift before that, you see, wasn't really a gift. Before that, the gift was really a price. It was something that Jacob thought he could pay to get something that he wanted. But after he realizes the grace that his brother has extended to him, without needing any payment, without wanting any payment, after he recognizes that grace from his brother as a grace that is like God's grace, Jacob then offers a gift to his brother, a gift that flows from God through him to his brother, in that he recognizes that because God has blessed him, he can in turn bless his brother. Jacob had talked to God. He had been reassured by God. He had been blessed by God, and he had been given a new name, a name that would represent God's chosen nation. But I think it was in this moment with his human brother, I think it was in that moment that Jacob truly became Israel. Because I think it was in that moment that Jacob finally understood that everything that he had was an undeserved gift from God. The favor that he received that day from Esau was not paid for, and yet there it was, undeserved. It was evidenced in the way that his brother ran to greet him, flinging his arms around him and asking to meet his family. And in the same way, The favor he had from God was certainly not paid for. And yet, in spite of all of Jacob's schemes and tricks and striving over the years, not because of all of that, in spite of all of that, God still blessed him. Terence Fretheim is a professor of Old Testament at Luther Seminary, and he observes when writing on this passage that life with God and life with others are two sides of the same coin. He says that what happens in one relationship has a profound impact on the other. And we see this throughout the Bible. The author of 1 John writes, "The commandment that we have from God is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters." And he also writes, "We love because God first loved us." Or if you want to go to the real source, Jesus taught us that it all boils down to, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This week I was in a meeting with our two other pastors here, and we talked about how that right there is really what we preach about every single week. That is really the heart of it all. Now, sometimes the way that we love God is in the way that we love a neighbor, a brother, a sister, a stranger. And on the other side, sometimes the way that we experience the love of God is through the unexpected love of a neighbor, a brother, a sister, a stranger. And after that experience of God's love through others, it is usually much easier to allow God's blessings to flow through us, in acts of mercy, compassion, and kindness, and thus continuing a beautiful circle of God's grace and love. Let us pray. Gracious, yes, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the undeserved gifts that you have given us. They are everywhere that we look. Help us to express our gratitude to you by showing a measure of that grace to those around us. Give us all that we need, not so that we can hoard it up and keep it to ourselves, but so that we can truly be a blessing to others. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In your Son's name we pray this morning. Amen.